we're going to start again from the two dots, Bat Kayin. And I want to say something. We're going to need this today multiple times. And it's going to be difficult for us to swallow this because logic doesn't work well here. The Gemara looks at halacha now as dry facts, not for the reasons behind it, but as the dry facts, and tries to figure out which is stricter than what. Even though, if you go by reasons, the Gemara's kavachaymer won't necessarily hold water. But the Gemara is looking at the halacha as facts. And if you look at facts, A is stricter than B. There's a reason for A being stricter than B that has nothing to do with the general severity of A over B. But the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara is just looking at it, and it does it many times in Shas. Bottom line is, A is stricter than B, so Kal V'Chaymer should take place. If you approached it with reasons, then you would never start the Kal V'Chaymer. So we're going to have this about five or six times today. I didn't count. But the Gemara is going to make Kal V'Chaymer based on facts, and you'll stop and say, but there's a reason to these facts. There's nothing bearing on severity of the thing. But at the end of the day, the Gemara will bring psukim to show us that that's the halacha and one doesn't have bearing on the other. But in the Gemara's Havaminas, the Gemara is going to look at straight facts without dissecting reasons for the facts. Okay, let's start. Bas Kayin Shenitzes LeYisrael, this is on page Zion of Aleph, about 10 lines to the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, Shavu Beisaviyah, says she goes back to her father's house, Prat L'Shemer Shabbam. Shemer Shabbam can't go back to her father's house because she's bound. B'Kidurah, Prat L'Muberet. She has to be like her youth, which means she's not carrying a baby, and therefore Muberet does not go back to her father's house. What bothers the Gemara is, why do I need a pasuk? I could figure this out by looking at dry halachic facts. Vayloi Dindo, by Truma, by Yibum, a woman that's married twice, has a child from husband number one, has no children from husband number two. It goes to Yibum. This woman has children, but doesn't make a difference. This marriage didn't have children. And since this marriage didn't have children, she follows the Yibum. Still, also Yibur ki Yolod. But if the husband dies and she's pregnant, she doesn't go to Yibum. That means even though previous children from a different marriage do not affect her Yibum status, Uber does affect her Yibum status. Dry halachic facts, without delving into the reasons why that is true. Welcome Sha'asa Vladman Arishika Vladman Asheni Lepaishlam and Atruma. When it comes to Truma, a woman who's married twice and has to two Yisraelim, she's a Bas Kayin. She has a child from husband number one and doesn't have any children from husband number two, does not go back home because she has a child from husband number one. That means we look at her total picture, we don't look at this last marriage, right? So when it comes to Truma, we're treating her more strictly than we are by Yibum. By Yibum, we only look at the last marriage, and by Truma, we look at her whole picture, right? So Ein Adin Shenas to Uber Kiyalut, shouldn't an Uber prevent her from going back as well? If by Yibum, where her total picture does not prevent Yibum, Uber does, so by Truma, where her total picture prevents Yibum, for sure Uber should. Now, if you went with reasons, the reasons are self-obvious why this is true, and therefore there's no Kal V'Chaymer. But the Gemara is looking at dry halachic facts. And halachically facts, the fact is that by Truma, we look at both marriages, by Yibum, we only look at the last one, and by Yibum we say Uber Paters, so by Truma Uber for sure Shapater. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Dr. Gemara like, that does not work. Because Ma'ali Asa Uber Kiyala than Yibum, Shari Asa Mason Kachaya. We have an other halacha where Yibum is more severe than Truma. And that is when the husband dies and leaves a child, and the child dies afterwards, she doesn't go to Yibum. Even though now she has no children from her husband, we look at the moment of death, and we don't care that the children die post after that. So there, in Truma, the halacha is, whereas by Truma, Nasa Uber Kiyol in Truma Shli Asim Esim Kachayim, by Truma, once the child dies, she goes back home. So in a certain way, Truma is more lenient. So therefore, you can't look at halachic facts. Because granted, in one way, Yibum is stricter, but in the other way, Yibum is stricter. So therefore, you can't build any halacha on halachic facts. Therefore, Tamalay Mekunurah, Pratlu Uberes. That's why I need the pasuk. Now, again, I want to stress this. Had we approached this with logic, the Kama Chaima would have never started. Because Yibum is a husband thing, and Truma is a woman thing. So by Yibum, we don't look at first marriage because it doesn't interest us. And by Truma, we do because we're looking at the woman. And the whole Kama Chaima would have never started. But the Gemara is not doing that. What the Gemara is doing is taking straight halachic facts without looking at reasons. And think, bottom line, by Yibum, we only look at the last marriage, and we allow Yibum even if she has children before. By Truma, we don't allow her to go back to Truma if she has from the first marriage. That means we're treating Truma more severely than Yibum. So for Uber, when we don't let Yibum, for sure we shouldn't let Truma. The answer is, in another way, Yibum is more strict than Truma. The boy that's alive, the child that's alive at the time of the husband's death, even if he dies afterwards, Yibum is not there. Yet, by Truma she goes back. So we see in another way, Truma is more lenient. Therefore, you can't prove leniency and strictness, because in one way one is more strict, in one way the other is strict. Therefore, I need a pasuk. Rashi. Kinura, second wide line. Kinura, b'zman shirei kanes ke'enura, pratnu muberes, comes to exclude muberes. Le'dinu, l'amali kra, ma'abim makam shle asim v'admin arishin k'v'admin hashen. What does that mean? This is l'echa v'yehod lo yomes. She got married to one husband, the Yisroel. She had a child, and he died. But this is Lachar, and the husband died. Then she married a second husband, Umeis, B'loi Bonim, Shicha Yibum, B'loi Patra Elam Vlad Sheshlam in Arishan. And we don't say that the baby she has from the first one absolves her. Asa Uber Kavlad Shemaisim Uberes Petura, like it says, Bain Ein Loi Ayin Olav, look to see if he has any children, B'cholin Yana, meaning if she's pregnant, that's considered he has a child. Malkam Shasim Vlad, that's Kaish, and this is the Yisrael. But Yol the loyal mace. He was married to Yisrael, has a child. But this is Lako Mace Loy Bonham. A Daini Asura Betruma. She's still Asura Betruma. She was Vlad Menarisha. The Sivitzer ain't love our Yeshla. So for sure, we should be stricter by Uber. And the answer is, Linyan Ibum are Asim Mace and Kachayim. What does that mean? Mace by Leviakach Mace Menah. Her husband died, and then her child died. Haru Kachay. He's considered like he's still alive. We learn it after the fact that the Torah has sweet ways. The Torah would not allow her to be free and then bind her afterwards. First her husband dies, then her child dies. These are all psukim. So looking at the total picture, we cannot say Yibum is more severe. We cannot say Truma is more severe. In one way, one is more severe. In the other way, one is more restrictive. I should use the word. One is more restrictive, and the other one is more restrictive. Therefore, without psukim, I can't figure anything out logically. Dr. Gemara Baita. The Itzich L'Mikhtav Muberes, the Itzich L'Mikhtav Azera Einla. We need a plastic to exclude that she doesn't go back when she has children. No. She doesn't go back when she's pregnant, and she doesn't go back if she has children. Zara Ainla means if she has children, she doesn't go back. Right. Why do we need both? Because the Rachman of Zara Ainla, I would say, Mikara Chad Gufa Vashta Trey Gufi. The reason she doesn't go back for children is because she came from one person into two people because she has a child. Abu Muberes, she's still only one person. The Mikara Chad Gufa Vashta Chad Gufa Matechum. Let us say that the future baby doesn't ban her from going back. When the baby will be born, she'll become restricted. But at this point, she's still a Bas Kayim without children. Because she still doesn't have a second body belonging to her, meaning a child. That's why it had to say that Muberes doesn't eat Truma. The Itzrich, the Ikaz Rachman of Muberes, the Mikara Gufa Srika, she's an empty body, Vashta Gufa Malya. She's changed. She went from being empty to full. Abazera Ela, if having kids, the Mikara Gufa Srika, Vashta Gufa Srika. She was empty and now is empty. She's unchanged. Emelai. Srika, that's why I need two psukim. Because if I would only write one, I wouldn't learn the other. Rashi, Amar Aleph, V'Hitzich L'Mikhtav Nureh L'Muti Muberes, V'Hitzich L'Mikhtav Ezerah Einlo L'Muti Yeshla Vlad Yalud, to exclude a born child. Srika, Reka, empty. Can my Elon Srak, an empty tree?
So, the pregnant lady is only because it's. A pregnant lady itself is not considered a blood.
Again, without having a pasuk, I would say the Torah only says if she has living children, she doesn't go back. She has no living children.
But in halacha, a pregnant lady who gets, if someone aborts the baby, is chayimisa, right?
Machlokes, not so simple.
But there's a way to look at that, right?
Again, it's not a living child. I'm not going to get involved in abortion now. Again, if it wouldn't be a pasuk that said that a pregnant lady does not revert back to her status as a single girl, I would say the fact that when she has children she doesn't has no bearing on her being pregnant. She still doesn't have children. So the pasuk tells me that she doesn't go back. Now, again, I'm going to say it one more time. The Gemara is now going to make Kal Vachomers that if you approached it with logic, would never start. But the Gemara is going to look at dry halacha and point out to us that without psukim, dry halacha might have told us differently. Therefore, the Torah had to tell us different psukim to make sure we get it straight. Simon, Amar Leh, Loi Nasa, Masa, B'misa, Nasa, Loi Nasa, B'vlad, Yavam, Truma, Simon. Yavam, Truma, Simon. Again, this is a siman for the four Kal Vachomers the Gemara will start. And again, every Kal Vachomer will be built on dry facts. If you approached it logically, the Kal Vachomer would not hold water. But that's because we know reasons once the pasuk told us psukim. But before the pasuk told us psukim, I might have not understood necessarily the reasons, and I would look at dry facts. Amar Leh, Rav Yehuda Midyaskar to Larava. Rabbi Yehuda from the city of Askarta said to Rabbah, Loi nasa mesim kechayim linyan yibum, mikal v'chaymer. We should say, by yibum, let us say the halacha is, a man dies, and his wife, and he has a child. She doesn't fall to yibum. The child dies a day, a week, a month, a year later. At the end of the day, the father that died has no children. He has no children. The child died. Let us say there's a mitzvah of yibum. Instead of saying that if the child is alive at the time of the death of the husband, there's no mitzvah of yibum, why don't we prove logically, again, with a Kal Vachomer, that there should be a mitzvah of yibum? That we should say, bottom line is he has no children. So there should be a mitzvah of yibum. And I can prove it to you. We should not treat deceased children like living children when it comes to yibum, meaning deceased after the husband dies. Marich by truma, when a woman is married twice, has a child from husband one, does not have a child from husband two. She still doesn't go back home to eat truma. We say, look at her total picture. She has a child. But if the child dies, she goes back. Even though at the time of the death of her husband, she had a child, once the child dies, she goes back for truma. That means, look at truma. It's severe enough that we don't let her go eat truma if she has a child from a previous marriage. But once that child dies, we let her go back to eat truma. That means, severe truma has this leniency. Even though it's severe in the sense that we don't let her go eat truma if she has a child from a previous marriage, we will let her go back eat truma if that child dies, even though he was alive at the death of her husband. So, Malkum Shaloyas of Vatmin Arishin, Kavatmin Ashaini, Lepaitrim, and Ayibum, when it comes to Yibum, and a woman was married twice and had no children from the second husband, there's Yibum. We don't say the fact that she had children from a previous husband has an effect on that. She still has yibum. So if the Torah says, look at the second husband and don't take into account husband number one, that means the Torah is being more lenient for yibum than it is for a truma, so for sure if the baby dies, she should go to Yibum. The seed of the Torah is more lenient when it comes to when she had a child from a previous marriage, so why don't we say that the Torah is at least as lenient that if the child dies, she should become chayiv in Yibum again? That would mean a woman whose husband dies and left a child, and then subsequently that child died, she should need Yibum. Why don't we say that? Learn it out from a Kal Vachomer. Truma is more severe, and yet we say that when the baby dies, she goes back. So by Yibum, which is less severe, and the proof that it's less severe is that if she had a child from the first marriage, it doesn't affect her Yibum status, should be enough to show us that if the baby dies, she should be eligible for Yibum. Why don't we say that? Now again, if we approach this logically, it wouldn't start. Because the reason Yibum is unaffected by a baby of the first marriage is because Yibum has to do with the husband, not with the woman. Whereas Truma has to do with the woman. It's a simple answer. Truma, we look at the woman, she has a child. Yibum, we look at the husband, he had no child. That would be the simple logical answer. But the Gemara is looking at dry halakhic facts. Halakhically speaking, Truma is more severe. We don't let her go back to Truma when she has a child from a previous marriage. That we do let her have Yibum when she has a child from a previous marriage. So looking at the scale, Truma is more severe. Yet by Truma, when the kid dies, we send her back home. So by Yibum, if the kid dies, we should send her for Yibum.
But how would that theoretical situation with Yibum work? She has a child, her husband dies. The child dies, then she would be subject to Yibum?
Yes. Or Chalitza.
How would
she have gotten remarried? So, the Rishayim speak out that according to this Havamina, this woman had a right to get remarried. Then her child dies, she becomes Chayiv in Yibum.
But she never actually got remarried.
She got remarried.
Okay.
And now her child dies 8 years later.
Yes.
She's now Chayiv in Yibum, or Chalitza, but she's married.
Yes.
So we say to the brother, give her Chalitza as a married woman. Right. We wouldn't let Yibum, because Lamaita, she's married, we can't have her married. Right. That's the Havamina. And for the Gemara, Talmud Lema Dercha Darchinayam, the Chol Nisivay Seah Shalom. The Torah is a sweet way, and all its paths are peace. This is not a peaceful way of doing things. You can't bind her to somebody after you permitted her to the whole world. You can't do that. It's not Darkei Nayam. It's not something the Torah would do. And therefore, that pasuk tells us that we only look at the time of death. We cannot tell a woman, go get remarried, and then turn around any amount of time later and say to her, oh, I'm sorry, you are now bound to somebody. It wouldn't be the Sivay Seah Shalom. It wouldn't be the peaceful way of doing things.
Why don't we use this
pasuk? We use it about 5 or 6 times to Shas.
I would think 5 or 600.
I don't know. It's only used when it makes no sense the other way. Rashi. I know that I'll be the Abi today. If a woman has a brother-in-law who's a real bad guy, she should say, the answer is, Rachel Darchinayim defines the mitzvah. It doesn't get involved in specific cases.
He's a bad guy.
What? The husband's brother is a Rasha Marusha. No, not physically bad. Then she can claim she doesn't want Yibum. The guy's a Rasha. He's a mean guy. He beats his wife.
I'm not sure they would not.
I don't know if they would or not, but the Torah for sure didn't absolve her. So Harvey would say, use Darkan Darkinayam. How could the Torah do this to the woman? The answer is, we defined the mitzvah.
I
wouldn't.
I would have
kept it in a situation that
she
was terribly removed as a liar. Again, it defines the mitzvah. The Chal Dachinem can define the mitzvah, not get involved in specifics. This is defining the mitzvah that we look at the time of death. Rashi, the Chal Dachinem, v'zu shahay lebev v'lay nitzkegu liyibum, she wasn't required to yibum, v'nitzis l'shok omeiz b'nah, im tamer taklait, hay mizgan al v'ayla, would be unseemly to her husband. Back to the Gemara. And the Gemara is going to attempt other Kal Vachomers. And again, each of these Kal Vachomers could be questioned logically. But
I mean,
yes.
Not the wife.
Well, it won't be good for the marriage. The Torah can't. It's not darkei nayam to require during a marriage that she become bound to somebody else.
Because
it will be bad for the marriage. But Dr. Gemara writes, "V'nasa meisim kachayim linyan truma." Let's turn it around, and let's say by truma, if she has a son when her husband dies, and then the son dies, she should not go back to being a bas kayin. Look at the moment of death. At that time, she couldn't revert back to being a bas kayin. That should ban her permanently from truma. Because she had a child at the time of death. But that's not halacha. Halacha is she does go back when the child dies. But let's use dry halachic facts. We can make a kal v'chomer to prove it. Not that way. How? Where it's more lenient. She has a child from a first marriage. It does not affect her yibum status. Still, the fact that she had a child at the time of death absolves her from yibum. So Malkim Sha'asim Vlad Min Arishin Kim Vlad Min Asheini L'Paisla Min HaTruma. Truma, which is more severe, where we look at the whole picture, not just at the last marriage. Einoy Din Shanasim Mesim Kachayim. Looking at dry halachic fact, the bottom line is Truma is more severe. The bottom line is Truma is more severe in the sense that if she had a child from the first marriage, she doesn't go back. By Yibum, if she had a child from the first marriage, she still has Yibum. So if by Yibum we only look at the moment of death, and afterwards we say, we don't care if it changed. So by Truma, we should also not care if it changed. And if the baby died afterwards, she should not go back to her father's house. At the moment her husband died, she had a child. She should remain a woman that cannot go back and eat Truma. Talmud Lomer v'zera Einla. The Torah says specifically, she doesn't have children. Not she didn't have children at the time of the death, but she doesn't have children currently for Einla, and she doesn't have it. The Pasuk says, don't look at the moment of death. Look at any point in time. So we can't use the dry halachic fact because the Torah said specifically by Truma, don't look at halachic facts. Look at the pasuk. It says she doesn't have children. It doesn't say she didn't have children. She doesn't have children. Back to the Gemara. We're going to try another kal v'chomer. And we're going to try like this. Let's say by Yibum, that a woman who had a child from a previous marriage should not fall to Yibum. Because if we see by Truma that it's more severe, that we don't allow Yibum if she had a child at the time of death, even though the child died, at the time of the death of the husband, even though the child died. And by Truma, that's not true. Then it means Truma, Yibum is more severe. So let's not allow Yibum if she had a child from a previous marriage. Using dry halachic facts, once you've established from Sukkim that a woman who had a child at the time of her husband's death cannot have Yibum, and at the same time you establish that a woman who had a child at the time of her husband's death, who subsequently died the child, goes back to eat Truma. That means Truma became more lenient. If that's the case, so if by Truma, a child from a previous marriage keeps her from eating truma, so then by Yibum, a child from a previous marriage should keep her from Yibum.
But the Yibum itself that establishes Yibum talks about that husband.
That's going to be the Gemara's answer. Again, we're looking at dry halachic facts without Pesukim. B'nas of Vladman Arishin Kim Vladman Asheini Linyan Yibum Mikal V'chaymer. U'ma b'mokim shloy asim meisim kichayim linyan truma. By Truma, even though we say if the child dies, she goes back to eat Truma. But if she has a child from a previous marriage, she doesn't. So when we say if the child dies, there is no Yibum. Talmud Lomer ben Einloy. By Yibum it says, look at him. He has no children. We don't care about him. About her. So what if she had from a previous marriage? The Torah by Yibum talks about him, not about her, which is really the side of this whole thing. Yibum is about him, and Truma is about her. But again, without the Sukkim, I would have made these Kal V'chomers. That's what the Gemara is saying. Correcting Gemara now, Kal V'chomer number 4. Not the Vlad Minarishin Kavlad Minasheni Latruma Mikalvaklaimer. Why not the Vlad Minarishin Kavlad Minasheni Latruma Mikalvaklaimer? Let's turn it around. And let's say by a woman who was married twice, and she has a child from the first marriage, not from the second marriage. Let's say she doesn't go back to eat. She does go back to eat truma. We look only at the last marriage. Why? From a kavuchaymer. Ma b'makim shasim meisim k'chayim l'paitrim in ayibum. By yibum, we're strict and we say the baby's alive at the time of death. There's no yibum. Lo yasav lad min arishin k'vlad min asheni. Still, the previous marriage's child doesn't affect yibum. So Malkim Shloyatza Mason Kachaimling in Truma. By Truma we're more lenient. We say if the baby dies, she goes back to eat Truma. Ain't additionally not so Vladman Arishin Kavladman Hasheni. So for sure, we should not let her go back to eat Truma. And we should let her go back to eat Truma, even if she had a child from a previous marriage. Talmud Leimer, Ain La. Look at her, La Yeshla. Bottom line, the Pasik, the four psukim. And the psukim define the halacha. And don't let halachic facts determine others' halachas because the Torah said differently. By Truma, the Torah said, look at her children. By Yibum, it said, look at his children. By Truma, the Torah said, look at the time. By Truma, the Torah said, look at current status. And by Yibum, the Torah said, look at the status at the time of death. The Torah definitively said the halacha. And therefore, you cannot make kal v'chomers one way or the other. Because it's all based on psukim, which define the halacha for us. Had no luck yesh mataris. We now enter for the next parak, a whole new subject matter, nothing to do with yibum per se. Ha'isha shahalach b'ayla l'mdina sayam, a woman whose husband went on a trip. Ubo v'amr lo meiz b'aylach. And they came and they told her, your husband died. And the Gemara is going to say, it was one witness that came and told her that. And the Gemara is now going to deal with the halachic fact that we accept one witness to testify that a woman's husband died. The Gemara is going to question, what's the basis of that? Why is that true? And that's what the Gemara is going to deal with, at least at the beginning of the parak. But that's the case. Even though it says it in plural, it means one witness. Rashi, Baal, Ba'amrullah, Ba'ed Echot, Tzachina, B'Gemar, B'Sefer, like the Gemara is going to prove, we mean one witness. So one witness walks in and says to the lady, sorry, I saw your husband killed. He has to be very specific. I saw your husband's dead body. Not speculative, but testimony. The witness says, your husband got killed. I was there. He got killed.
He's saying this.
He goes to Bezin, and he tells the Bezin in front of, he tells the woman, basically, your husband's dead. He tells Bezin, I saw this guy, he's dead. The halacha is she can get married. Why that's true is going to be a discussion in the Gemara. Venissus, Viachach Babaila, she gets married, and then all of a sudden her husband shows up. So now, she lived in sin. The bottom line is, it wasn't her fault. She had bad fault. The Gemara is going to say it's partially her fault, as we will see. But simply put, she followed the law. She was allowed to rely on one witness. And now, the husband walked in. He's alive. That means she's married to the first husband. That means the second husband lived with an Eish Ish. So we punish her. And the Gemara is going to say why later on. We punish her. But we throw the book at her. And the Gemara is going to explain that the reason we throw a book at her is because the reason, again, I'm skipping to the maskana of the Gemara. At the beginning of the Gemara will think differently. But at the end of the day, the Gemara is going to say that part of the reason we rely on one aid is because a woman recognizes the consequences of getting remarried. And she will do an independent investigation. And she won't take that step until she's confident that he's really dead. In her own way, she will do her best investigation, recognizing that there's severe consequences to be paid if it's not true. And therefore, if it ends up being not true, we say to the woman, you didn't do your job. So this halacha of relying on one witness, the Gemara is going to say, is based on the fact that women know we added this piece of consequences to make sure that before the woman takes the step, she is confident that he is dead. And if she's not confident, she won't do it because of knowing all the consequences that will come about. And therefore, this is our way of making sure that we're not just relying on the one witness. We're relying on the one witness together with an independent investigation by the woman herself to make sure that the fact is true. Now, if she didn't do a good investigation, she suffers the consequences. She's gambling. And if she gambles wrong, she will pay dearly. That's the way Chazal set it up, and we will discuss this later in the Gemara. Yes?
So, you've said many times that you do not need a rabbi to initiate it. Part of this then, there's no one to make sure that she is eligible to get married or remarried. And because of this, all the consequences fall.
So this is Beth and Pat's getting that she can get remarried.
Do they
pass? They're going to pass
again.
No. She comes to Beth and says, listen, here is Reuven. He just came back and told me that he was in China and he saw my husband get killed.
That's just my question. So I would assume the way this looks is that no, it's up to her.
Bazin says to her, you can rely on that, but be aware that if your husband does show up, there are severe consequences. What that does is, it puts the onus on her. It says to her, listen, I'm the one that's on the line here, no one else. And therefore, I have to be very, very careful before I make my next step.
Did all of these women in 1945 who survived have to go to a basement?
Yes. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Famous story with Ramesha. Frightening story. A woman came to Ramesha and she said, my husband didn't come back after the war. And I went to this basement and she said the name of the rabbi. And he told me I'm allowed to get remarried, and now my husband showed up. So Ramesha said, you're a liar. If that rabbi said you would want to get married, if your husband were alive, he would have died. There's no way he would have been alive after that rabbi told you you can get remarried. So she admitted that she made it up, that she never got the hunter. Ramesha said, it's impossible that rav would have told you it's mutter, and that he would have survived. If he had survived, he would have died. But that's Ramesha, with that rav, whoever it was, that was so confident. Yes, but every woman in 1945 whose husband died had to bring some kind of proof. Now, there were heterim that they used, seen in the concentration camp on the left line. There were no witnesses, very few witnesses from the actual gas chamber. But there were witnesses who saw him being sent to the left. All kinds of Enochanami. There were witnesses. There had to be witnesses.
The more common situation, right? It said went away out of the country or over. In those days, taking a trip by sea was treacherous. And if a husband is supposed to come back in 6 months, and it's been 3 years.
She's in Iguno. I knew of a woman, was the grandmother of my friend, who was, her husband went on a mission during the war in 1944. And I knew this woman in 1969. Her husband never came back and nobody knows what happened to him. She was never allowed to get remarried. She remained in Iguna. There was no proof that her husband ever died. No witnesses, nothing. Just that he didn't show up. Theoretically, he could have found, again, it didn't happen, but theoretically, he could have found a different woman wherever he was going on a mission and decided to live with her and forget about his first wife. There's no proof that he didn't. Again, I'm speculating very strongly that he didn't. He was a frum yid, and there was no reason for him to do that, but we have no proof. In 9/11, in order for women to get remarried, they had to have evidence that their husband was in the building at the time of the crash. If not, if they didn't find the remains, there was no way they could get remarried. There was a whole bezin in Eretz Yisrael in America. There's a rav in Lakewood, Rabbi Eliyahu Levin. He's a big Talmid Chacham. He was very involved. and being martyred, what they had to do is find evidence that he was in the building at the time of the crash. They used phone records. And that he couldn't have gotten out between that phone call and the crash. Because if not, maybe he left. Halacha needs proof that the guy was killed. Now, one witness is enough, coupled with the fact, as the Gemara will explain, it's going to be a whole sugya of the Gemara, that one witness is enough due to the fact that she won't rely on that witness unless she's convinced 100% that it's true. And she knows the gamble that she's taking.
Now, this one witness, is he under the category of Kashrut Zava? Let's say he's found out that he lied, right?
What are you going to do to him?
He made her live with someone who...
What are you going to do to him? Exactly what are you going to do to him?
Tried to get her to
Chayav Misa. Not Chayav Misa. Nobody's going to kill this woman. She had a heter from Bezin to get married. The consequences are not that she's going to get killed. What, are we going to warn her to your Natchez-ish? She's not an Natchez-ish.
What is the...
Well, we're going to see. The Mishnah is going to list the consequences.
What's the problem if she... But she isn't, it turned out the end she wasn't.
She sure was.
Okay, so, but she's not punished.
Yeah, but she is punished, as we will see. If you let,
no.
Give me four more lines in the Mishnah, you'll see how bad she's punished.
What I'm trying to say is that, so she is punished, so we want to show, so she, so the liar, he was like two, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is he going to be punished?
What are we going to do? Give him Malkus. Can't make him a momser. But that's what we're going to do to her kids. What do you want to do to the guy? You want to do to him what he did to her. Let's see what we did to her. Tape.
When
Bezin has to tell her she can rely on the aid. She needs Bezin to authorize her relying on the witness.
Or does she have to?
I just answered you. There's no or. She Bezin has to authorize her to rely on the witness.
Then she still has to do her homework, right?
100%.
And then does she come to Bezin again?
No. Bezin told her, do your homework and do what you want.
What does the Bezin do? They verify that the aid might be...
They just listen to make sure that the aid is saying the 100% testimony.
Why should he come to Bezin at all?
Because without a heter Bezin, you can't rely on the one aid. Because Bezin has to ascertain that the aid saw the act, exactly what has to be seen.
How do they ascertain?
By talking to the aid, listening to him.
But then she has to do her homework.
Again, nobody's saying she doesn't have to do her homework.
In other words, how far do they go to make sure that this aid is...
Listening to his testimony. But we need a reshus Bezin. The Gemara is going to say, Bezin has to authorize her that she can rely on the aid echad. See, there's so much Gemara left to do before we get this clearly, but that's the halach. Again, Taitzim is out, is out. She has to leave husband number two, because she's not married to him, but she also can't stay married to husband number one. Rabbinically, we say, sorry lady, you cannot stay married to your husband, even though, theoretically, you did nothing wrong. Bezin told you you can get married.
Can't say number two without a get?
With a get, rabbinically. Get mizah mizah. She needs a biblical divorce from husband one and a rabbinic divorce from husband two, and the Gemara will explain why. Ve'ein la ksuba. She gets no ksuba from neither husband. Ve'loi peiris. She doesn't get reimbursed for any of the fruit he ate. Ve'loi mezainis. Neither husband has an obligation to continue feeding her now. Even if they die, their estate has no obligation to feed her. Beloy, she doesn't get any of the worn out clothing. Beloy alzeh. Not for marriage one, not for marriage two. Mimnot lemizah mizah tachzor. If she did take it, we make her give it back. Vavlav mamzer mizah mizah. Now, the kid from the second marriage is a mamzer biblically. She's an Aegis ish that had a child. It's unfortunate, but that's what happens. If she stays married to husband number one, the kid is a rabbinic mamzer. The rabbonim say, You stay married to husband number one, the kid is a rabbinic mamzer. Not biblical, because she is his wife. But since we said break this marriage up and you didn't, we're going to make this kid a rabbinic mamzer. The consequences of her not doing the proper investigation is we have to leave both marriages. We can't stay married to husband one, she can't stay married to husband two.
And we're going to find out what a rabbinic mamzer is.
Rabbinic mamzer in certain ways is worse than a biblical mamzer. Can't marry a Jewish girl rabbinically, and he can't marry a mamzeret. So he's stuck. He has to find that other rabbinic mamzeret. Good luck. Peloy zavet zemetami lo. If her husbands are kehanim, neither of the two can be metame if she dies. Husband number two is not her husband. Husband number one, Rabbana say, sorry, we don't let you be metame to her because she's not the wife we want you to have. It's bothering everybody. What's bothering everybody?
What does that mean? The lady, she's not Perry Mason.
I would say who's Perry Mason, but that would be a lie. Yeah, go ahead. I think you are dating yourself.
Who's that famous lawyer everybody knew? He was from his brother's firm. Everybody hires him.
Rothman,
right? You can use him as your investigator, and it's going to be wrong, not work out. Well, what is she? How much can she do? How much can she do? How much could she do? You know what I'm saying? Oh, you didn't work hard.
How much can she do?
You did. If I didn't understand it the first three times.
If she hired
Harvey, that's something else. We're talking about a regular, But to me, is that like she? This is her.
You're obbying me on this one.
I don't do that. So he was here 2 weeks ago?
I know.
What did I say that?
I have no idea why you say a lot of it. I mean, so why is this any different? The answer to the question is, listen, lady, you're taking a gamble if you go get married. It's your chance. These are the consequences. You better be 100% sure.
So don't say that one ain't good enough.
And in most circumstances,
it's
a good
deal.
Right.
No, don't say one ain't good enough.
She's
24.
Is that
means
a
Torah?
And she's looking at a life of no support.
Again, her husband was in Auschwitz, and they saw him. One aide saw him being put to the left. The chances of his survival are minuscule. Minuscule. Impossible? Can't say that. Very minuscule. Now, we rely on that.
What chazaka? Everyone who goes.
He's on the left. There's no chazaka.
There is.
Some people survive.
No.
There are people that went into the gas chamber and came out.
The chazaka.
Again, she relied on that. She got married. And he shows up. Terribly sad. It's terribly sad.
I'm not into that. She has chazaka that says she's fine, and the bed that says it's fine.
But now he showed up. I can't change the fact.
You know what?
He's here.
Life is going on.
And what? She's an anxious ish. She's an anxious ish. This is why the Mishnah says she should be aware of all these consequences.
No.
I don't know what you're arguing. The Mishnah, the Gemara, me, exactly who are you arguing on here?
It's hard to argue with Rebbe than the Mishnah. You grade the test.
Okay. The Mishnah says we throw these book at her in order for her to realize what she's doing. Now, she might figure it out and say, I'm convinced my husband's dead. She might be wrong. That means she wasn't convinced. She was too fast.
What are the chances he's going to come back? If the ship goes down, all other people are confirmed dead. Her husband, no one could see him.
Rahman al-Islam, what happened in Florida? If a woman is not, I don't know if there are any cases, but if a woman wasn't there and her husband was in that building, who's going to, how she know? I mean, they should find all the bodies, Hashem Yirachem. But let's say they never find the guy's body. What is he supposed to do? Do we know he was there? Did anybody see him there? He was there 9 o'clock in the evening. Who says he was there 2 o'clock in the morning? Maybe he flew off to Bermuda and it was another woman. Maybe he disappeared on her because he owes money. Nobody knows what happened. Now, again, chances are he was there, and chances are he's unfortunately not alive. Now she's gambling when she gets married. There's an Ein Echad that says, I saw him there at 1:15 in the evening. I saw him there at 1:35, and the thing happened at 1:36, or whatever it was. Right? I saw it there. And therefore, that's an Ein Echad. Now she has to understand, you're taking a chance. If he ever does show up, you're going to face the consequences.
When we see him in Tumo, we believe in going.
This is a whole parsha. Yes, it's going to be a whole Gemara. We're going to learn Mamash and Yavamash. This is all coming up. Yes, what is Messiah Levi Tumoi? What do we believe? 100%.
This is not the Gael Lemaisa.
100% is the Gael Lemaisa. I told you, 9/11, this was very thing. This was very true. This happened. It's not theoretical. This is very the Gael Lemaisa. It happens in Eretz Yisrael by terrorist attacks. In that restaurant, Samara's, whatever his name was. Her husband was there. He's not anywhere. They can't find his body. Shem Yirach. Happens all the time. Plane crashes. Boat sinking. Yeah, this is very Negei Lemaisa. This is half the Tshuva Svarim and Eben Ezer is to be Matri Gunas. To be Matri women who are stuck and we have to find evidence to be Matri them. There's all kinds of tshuvas written with all kinds of svar to be mater niguna. It's very hard, yes. But on the other hand, we're playing with Eishes Ish.
So, the pasuk of the Torah says, Ein Echad.
We're going to see that. Well, that's what the Gemara is going to start with. At the end of the day, the Gemara won't find the pasuk.
That's bad. No, I'm serious. That's like everything. This is what we're.
Again, that's why we're learning now, so we'll find out. So it will be great by the time we're finished. You're right.
That's a good idea. The second husband is not required in the resume to go on to check out to see if the first husband's alive.
Again, he also had to, well, listen, he realized that he's marrying this woman who only had an Ein Echad. But the Terrence is, he's going to have no consequences. Except his kids will be Mamzerim.
Right. That's pretty bad. Why is that he's not required?
What do you want to do to him?
What do you want to do to him?
We're punishing her because as a wife, she gets all these punishments. We're not beating her up. We're not giving her malchus. We're saying you're going to lose all these things. What do you want to do to her second husband?
He's married a Cohen. He might have better truma. Is he over anything by stealing?
No, he was a shaggy mamish.
He was shogging, but
she's also shaggy. Nobody's saying she's amazing.
In other words, because she didn't do military homework, she still remains a shogging.
To a certain extent. She didn't do this on purpose.
Okay.
We'll call her negligible.
No. That's between Shogeg and Mazel?
Somewhere between Shogeg and Mazel.
No.